Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies, Nature Folk, and others. In tonight's encore from October 2020, Selena discusses Samhain lore, symbols, chants, and customs for crafting transformative meditations and rituals as Samhain approaches and during Samhain observations.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. Tonight, we're exploring Samhain magic. This is Selena Fox, and I'm coming to you on two platforms, Circle Sanctuary's Internet Radio Network, CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, and I'm coming to you live on my main Facebook page, Selena Fox Updates. I'm so thankful to all of you who are joining me live and to all of you who will be joining later because we'll have this archived at both places. You can go to circlesanctuary.org, go to the CSNP page, and click on the link, and you'll be able to listen to this again if you wish. And I plan to have this archived on my Selena Fox Updates page, and possibly also my Selena Fox YouTube channel. I'd like to begin our time together with Samhain magic, with a chant. Spirit in light, spirit in sound, spirit within, spirit around, spirit in light, spirit in sound, spirit within, spirit around, spirit in light, spirit in sound, spirit within, spirit around. We honor spirit, the spiritual dimension of ourselves, the spiritual dimension of that greater circle of humankind of which we're part, the spirit that connects us with humankind through the ages, spirit which connects us with the greater web of life here on planet Earth and beyond. Samhain, spelled in English S-A-M-H-A-I-N, is in many traditions the Celtic New Year, the Wiccan New Year, in some Druidic traditions, the Druidic New Year, and in pagan traditions that might have many paths intertwining, the pagan New Year. It is a time for bringing in the harvest and celebrating harvest in. It is a time for looking at the year that has just concluded and preparing for the spiritual new year that is happening. It is a time for taking a look at death, beloved dead, ancestors, understanding death as part of the cycle of life, growth, death, and rebirth. I'd like to begin with an exploration of Samhain magic by encouraging you to consider Samhain as more than one day and one night. According to lore that has been passed down and rebirthed in a number of traditions, Samhain was actually, in the ancient past, celebrated over a period of days and nights, as were other holidays connected with what we call now the Wheel of the Year. Contemporary pagans and other nature spirituality practitioners have the Wheel of the Year as a sacred calendar. The beginnings of each of the four seasons, the equinoxes and solstices, are four of the holidays, and the midpoints of each of the four seasons, sometimes known as the cross quarters, and sometimes known as the Celtic Fire Festivals. Those are the other four holidays. Some traditions start their Wheel of the Year and end it at Samhain time. The Circle Craft tradition, which I helped birth and which many people have been able to adapt in their own way as part of their practices, has Samhain as the spiritual new year. But we also, in our Wheel of the Year, recognize the calendar new year as a form of the next holiday on the Wheel of the Year, known as Yule or Winter Solstice. As we go into Samhain, which many people will celebrate in the Northern Hemisphere on October 31st, and in days and nights around that time, there's a tradition of being able to celebrate it for even longer than a few days and nights. The period of time leading up to Samhain is sometimes known as Samhain Tide. And so the first part of Samhain magic I invite you to consider is, have your Samhain magic last for several weeks. Why have it last for several weeks? First of all, there's a whole variety of ways that you can do personal meditations and rituals, household meditations and rituals, community, and small group meditations, rituals, celebrations, and by having it celebrated over a period of several weeks, there are many of opportunities to be able to connect with different forms of Samhain celebrations and magic. What do I mean by magic? I'm using it in a very wide way to be a form of practice that brings about transformation. Transformation of self, transformation of those taking part, and transformation for the larger world of which we are all part. One of the things that I like to do at the start of Samhain Tide is to focus on bringing in the rest of the harvest. I grow herbs and fruit and vegetables, and I do wildcrafting, and it's in October that I not only do more harvest work, but I recognize that the growing season will be ending, so I endeavor to complete that harvest work in a timely fashion. Some harvesting I've already done. This is some catnip that I have gathered. I like using baskets as a way of gathering it, as well as having the herbs and other vegetation dry for use later. I also work with gathering fresh fruit and vegetables, and sometimes we'll use that fresh, sometimes use the herbs fresh. So one of the pieces of Samhain magic is to spend time in natural environments and doing some harvest work. An important thing to keep in mind in doing harvest work is your relationship with the green realm. So an important ritual is prior to harvest is to get what you need together for the harvest and then go to a plant which is a representative of the various plants you're going to be harvesting and spend a few moments honoring it, connecting with it, and inviting the spirit of that plant to be with you, to guide you in harvesting. I typically, when I do that initial contact with one of the plants in an area where I'm going to be harvesting, I don't actually harvest the plant that serves as a representative of that plant realm. Instead, I gather from others around it. So there's a way of tuning in, gathering, and then giving thanks. Giving thanks, some people like to actually leave a physical offering. Others will speak a prayer or blessing or thanksgiving. Some will pour water or some other offering in the area as a way of giving thanks. Doing the harvest is just part of it. Once you've brought the harvest in, then you need to find a way to process it and to store it. A tradition that is really a powerful way of celebrating the end of the harvest is to take a bit of each of the things that you've harvested. And it might be taking the tops or taking the entire branch of an herb. And if you have a Samhain altar, is to take bits of what you've harvested and placing them on the altar. Apples are a wonderful item to gather in as we go into Samhain time. Many of the traditions that are connected with observing Samhain in 21st century America actually have its roots in ancient traditions, including traditions of the holiday known as Halloween. While it's connected with Samhain, it is a separate type of celebration. Halloween comes from All Hallows Eve, and it refers to All Hallows, All Saints, and All Souls Day, November 1st and November 2nd. When Europe became Christianized, the old Samhain holiday that was pagan took on a Christian guise. So All Hallows became a new name for Samhain. And there are special traditions that have come up in connection with Hallowmas, Halloween, All Saints and All Souls Day. And as people in Europe made contact with the Americas, some of those traditions came over to the Americas. There is another holiday that is celebrated at this time of year, the Days of the Dead, and it has its roots in Mexico and some of the other countries now in the Americas where it's being celebrated. And it actually combines some of the traditions from indigenous folkways with European Halloween, Hallowmas, All Saints, All Souls Day traditions, and of course, Samhain. In the Circle Sanctuary community, we celebrate all three of those holidays. Halloween in its secular, as well as recognizing its spiritual rooted form, Days of the Dead, and Samhain. We use Samhain as the umbrella term because of our own tradition being rooted in ancient European pagan folk traditions. So, with an apple, one of the things that many groups will use is to take the apple, have it in a Samhain ritual, have it be a symbol of healing, of the holiday, and of magic. Cutting it in half, you will notice that there are five seeds and you have a pinnacle within the apple. And I've been in rituals within the Circle Sanctuary community where revealing that five-pointed star within the apple has been a part that's been included in the ritual. I also have used that as a kind of mandala for meditation, holding the apple, gazing into the five-pointed star, letting that be the focus of meditation. Another point of connection with Samhain goes to its roots as a Celtic fire festival. If you are able, I would invite you to find a good way to kindle a candle, a bonfire, a hearth fire, depending on your circumstances, as part of your Samhain celebrations. Now, there's many different traditions with fire and Samhain. At the Circle Sanctuary community, when we've been able to meet in person, we typically have a labyrinth, a spiral labyrinth, which is one of our sacred ceremonial areas on our land. It is lit up with candles, and we walk the labyrinth in silence and go to the center, and a fire is kindled there. It is a way of meditatively spiraling to the center, letting go of what is needed to release from the old year passing, in the center reflecting on the here and now, taking sustenance and inspiration from the sacred fire. And then, as one feels ready to progress out the spiral, taking the learnings, the transformation into the world. So that's one form of fire magic. Samhain fire on Samhain night, Samhain magic of spirit light, Samhain fire on Samhain night, Samhain magic of spirit light. So the fire helps illuminate the evening. The fire can be something that connects us with the other world. Using candlelight inside, or if you have a fireplace, kindling a Samhain hearth fire, or if you are fortunate to be able to go outside and have a fire that way, the fire connects you not only with the spirit of Samhain present, but it is something that's come down through the ages that connects us with the power and the magic of Samhain itself. Purification magic at Samhain time can be powerful. It can take the form of going to a fire and having some dried kindling things to cast into the fire, or if you have a candle, such as I have here, being able to work with the fire as a purifying sacred force. Another way of working with fire is through a lit joss stick. One of my favorite incenses to use at Samhain time is frankincense. It's from a gum resin from a tree that grows in the Middle East. And since ancient times, it has been used to clear away what is not needed and to uplift the spirits, uplift the spiritual energy of a place, of a person, of a group. When you are working with another dimension of Samhain time, which is remembering and honoring the spirits of the dead, it's important to do any kind of spirit work where you're actually spirit meaning beloved dead, spirits of the dead, ancestors, mighty dead, different forms of those who have crossed over. It's important to purify the place, remove distractions, and to have a good environment for that spiritual contact to occur. And incense is a really good way of clearing out what's not needed, as well as creating a mood for spiritual contact with the dead. Another way of working with the dead is to create an altar to honor the dead, to take a bit of the food and beverages that are being served at a Samhain celebration. And if it goes over a period of several days and nights, which is the custom that I'm used to, taking a bit of that food and beverage that's being consumed and placing it on the spirit plate and using a spirit cup for the beverages. And then at the height of the Samhain ritual, which will be Samhain night, depending on your tradition. Many people, it's the Saturday closest to October 31st. Some people prefer to have it closer to the actual midpoint between fall equinox and winter solstice, which, depending on your tradition and how you keep time, is the 4th, 5th, 6th, or 7th of November in the Northern Hemisphere. But to actually offer the food and the spirit cup with beverages to the beloved dead, to the ancestors, and that typically is done in ritual. Beloved dead, come get fed. I do that part of Samhain magic at Circle Cemetery. We have an actual altar there where we put the offerings for the dead there, placing the food there and pouring the beverage as a libation onto the altar stone. But you do not need to actually go to a cemetery in order to make that offering. You can do that within your own home. If you are near a park and you can safely go there, after your ceremony, you can take the food and the beverage and go to a tree or someplace, if it's permitted in that park, to leave things such as that and to release them back in nature as a way of feeding the beloved dead that you're honoring. Samhain. Samhain, the veil it thins, come spirit friends. Samhain, Samhain, the veil it thins, come spirit friends. Samhain, Samhain, the veil it thins. Come, spirit friends, Samhain. Using a chant as a way of creating a meditative state and inviting in a good and sacred way those from the other world to come and join you, to commune with you at Samhain Tide, can be a very powerful form of Samhain magic. It is a part of Samhains in many traditions. Some use chanting, some use a meditative approach, some do it in silence. There is a tradition of the Dumb Supper. Those taking part, and it may be a family or people who are part of a household, have a Dumb Supper on Samhain night, sit quietly at the table in silence, and have a chair and the spirit plate and the spirit cup for all the beloved dead, the ancestors, to be present, eating the meal in silence as one reflects and connects with those who have gone before. And at the end of the meal, shifting into another ritual, or in some cases, a joyous celebration around a bonfire. I'd like to say some other things about remembering and honoring the dead at Samhain. Some find it helpful when a loved one has died sometime in the year leading up to Samhain to do a special working to connect with that someone or someones. Now, this might be a friend, a family member. It doesn't necessarily have to be human. There are people who honor a pet or companion creature who has crossed over. And creating an altar, having a photograph or the name of the loved one or ones who have crossed over present, having a candle. And another item that I work with when I do spirit Samhain altars is to create a portal focus. I like to work with clear or smoky quartz crystals. And I have a crystal that serves as the focal crystal, as a portal, and I have it in an area. Sometimes I'll have it in a stand. I have a wooden stand that I'm working with right now. Sometimes I will cover it until the time for activation with a cloth, and then I remove the cloth and then use the crystal as a physical link to connecting with the other world. The words, "the veil is thin," comes from the Samhain lore that at this time of year, and this is across the Samhain tide, so it isn't just Samhain night, it's the time going up to it as well. The days are getting shorter, the nights are getting longer, and typically there is a shift in weather patterns, getting colder in many parts of the world, which are up in the Northern Hemisphere in late October. And the idea is the dimension called the here and now, the incarnate world of the living gets more closely connected with the other world, which in some Irish pagan tradition is known as Tir na n'Og, the land of eternal youth. Some traditions call it the summer land, the land of eternal summer. Some people call it the spirit world or the other world. The tradition that other world and the world of the living having a greater ability to have contact and connections. It's something that goes across many different pagan traditions, and it's something that I myself have had the opportunity to experience at Samhain time. I have started having Samhain-related dreams, even though October has just begun. And one of the things that I pay attention to is not only messages that come in the dream time at this time of year and making notes of them in a journal, but I also do specific meditations and rituals in order to make contact. Now, by making contact, I'm suggesting that you consider it as a kind of cell phone connection or a Zoom connection with the other world. There is a form of spiritual tradition called spiritualism in which one makes contact by actually embodying the spirit of a departed loved one or of the dead. So mediumship is a much more advanced form of making contact with the spirit world at Samhain time or at other times of the year. If this interests you, it's really important that you get good training from somebody who has been doing this for a long time. They know what they're doing. They know how to center. They know how to protect and ward and can detect what is coming through and what needs to be dispelled. So if you're really looking to do some mediumship work at Samhain time and you don't know much about it, you can use this Samhain time to study about it and do some communications with people that are practitioners. I don't advise people just jumping in and attempting to work with the spirits of the dead in that way. Something else that you might consider doing as part of Samhain magic is to decorate your home with symbols of the season. I have with me some examples. I have a gourd that's actually sometimes known as a mini pumpkin. And I have a representation of a pumpkin about the same size as my mini pumpkin that actually has a face on it. The jack-o'-lantern. And there's a lot of lore about jack-o'-lanterns. Some say that having the carved face is a way of honoring the dead, being a representation of that other world. Others say it's a way of creating a guardian to ward off those spirits of the dead that are confused, that are hurting, that are up to no good. So I'll leave that determination as to how you're going to interpret a jack-o'-lantern up to you. I have a form of jack-o'-lantern with me that's actually made of metal, and it has a different kind of light in it, a battery-operated votive light. And one of the advantages of having a metal container with a battery-operated light is it's all weather and it can endure for a much longer period of time than if you're actually carving up a gourd. Now, you'll also see that I have something that some people would call the witch's hat. And the folkloric witch connection with Halloween is also part of Samhain celebrations for many people. Some say this witch's hat represents a magic circle and that the point is the cone of power that is created on ritual times. I think a great part of Samhain magic is to basically celebrate all the various holidays at this time of year, including Halloween. Yes, many people consider that a children's dress-up holiday, but I see it as for all who are young at heart. In the Middle Ages, guising was done at Samhain time. People went door to door collecting alms for the poor in some traditions. And some say that going door to door, which today in many parts of America is known as trick or treating, actually has its roots back in the ancient past when people set forth that plate of food offerings for the dead and that cup of beverage for the dead as a way of celebrating ancestors and the beloved dead. Now, where's this trick-or-treat coming from? Well, some of the lore around that is on Samhain night, you set that place table, place setting at your table, you invite your beloved dead to come and get fed with you. You take some of the food from the meal, some of the beverages from the meal. Some people also like to put a candle by that place setting, and that's certainly a tradition that I have done myself as part of my own Samhain practice. And it was said that if you honored the dead with offerings and remembrance at Samhain time, you will be blessed. That's the treat. But if you did not, well, you might get some corrective feedback from the other world. So trick-or-treat has much lore connected with it. I do think being able to connect with our ancestors at this time of year is a powerful way for us to be able to take a look at death as part of the cycle of human life, to come to terms with death. When a loved one has died in the previous year, often the grieving has been intense around the time of the death and the funeral, the memorial, the burial that's happened then. And then as Samhain comes up, there's another opportunity to remember and to release and to do some more grieving. I do think it is important that if you are going to be working with grief, that you have a support system in place, spiritual as well as humanoid, that can check on you and provide you strength and support as you do your grieving. I'm focusing on Samhain magic and overview tonight, but I also have some podcasts coming up on the spirits of the dead and on honoring ancestors and another bit of Samhain magic, which is divination. There are different ways of doing divination. Scrying into the fire, a Samhain fire. Scrying into water, scrying into an apple, scrying into incense smoke, scrying into a crystal, into a black mirror. There's different ways of being able to have that intuitive visioning through one or more forms of divination involving scrying. Something that's been part of my Samhain magic since I was very young and started working with tarot cards, which is more than 50 years ago, is to, on Samhain night, to do a reading for myself. And that can take the form of blessing, if you're using tarot cards, blessing the cards, having a notebook where you write down your question, and then shuffling your cards, and then you may use the one card method, and pull this one up is strength, and clearly that's a good one to have. But there's many ways of doing divination with tarot. One of the things that I like to do as part of personal practice at Samhain time is, besides doing a one-card draw and meditation, is to actually do what I call the year ahead. I will pick a card as a significator for me, put it in the center. I'll shuffle the cards, and then I will draw a card for each of the months of the year to come, beginning November, that is starting to happen. And then a final card at the end that I put in the center, which is a summary for the year ahead. There is a variety of different ways of working with cards, tarot cards. And some people work with oracle cards instead that can be really powerful as a way of meditating and reflecting. I also would invite you to consider as part of Samhain magic that you take time out and do a personal assessment, thinking about the year that has happened prior to and leading up to the Samhain time, month by month, taking a look at your year in review, doing a reflection on yourself and how you've grown and changed, doing some journaling. What were some challenges that you faced? How did you face them, and what did you learn? What were some high points, joyous times, accomplishments that you had, making a note of that and how you can build on that? What are some ways that come to you that you can reflect on for taking with you into the year ahead? So divination is another wonderful way to be able to connect with this sacred time. I think it's good to also do some research into your ancestry at this time of year. And in my podcasts that have to do with ancestral work, which I'll give you more details if you choose to connect with those resources. When I talk about ancestors, I use ancestors as a large term to represent not only people we're genetically descended from or that we're connected with through adoption or some other type of resonance with a particular family grouping. So those ancestors of blood and family, one type of ancestor, but to also take a look at ancestors of place, where you are living, the layers of culture and traditions that have happened in the geographical area where you are, connecting with the spirits of the land where you dwell, connecting with powers that have been part of the place, the country, the locale where you are across time. And the third type, ancestors of spiritual tradition, authors, teachers, musicians, artists, others who have been part of your spiritual journey that have now crossed into the world of the ancestors. And being able to work with one or more types of the ancestors can be a really powerful way of connecting with Samhain and personal transformation in terms of identity formation and evolution. With the World Wide Web, with the internet being even more full of information about different cultures and time periods and their genealogical websites, you can take Samhaintide as a time to learn about one or more forms of your ancestral heritage. If you choose to do that, I think it's important that you make a note of what you've learned as well as the sources that you've worked with. Ancestors, we call to you. Ancestors, we honor you. Ancestors, we call to you. Ancestors, we honor you. A simple chant that I've created and worked with in my own way can be used in ancestor rituals at Samhain time, can be used in ancestor meditations, can be used as you prepare to do some ancestor research. Creating a Samhain altar or altars, a powerful way of connecting with the power of the season, as well as being a place where you can do your Samhain magic. A personal altar is one approach. A household altar, another approach. An altar devoted specifically to the ancestors and beloved dead. An altar that has on it symbols of this time of year. At the altar, it becomes a focal point to deepen your connection and your resonance with this time of year. And as you craft different forms of spells and prayers and meditations and workings, it can be a place where you not only are working the magic at the time in the rite, but as a place where you can continue to have that rite send its power out throughout the Samhain season. So an example would be to set up an ancestor's altar early on in Samhaintide, and then this could be an altar to honor those in the other world that you seek to connect with. Then each day between the time you set it up until the time of Samhain, culminating, you would take a photograph or an object for a particular ancestor and place it on the altar and do a focal work with that particular form of beloved dead or ancestor. By the time you get to your culmination of Samhain, you would have an altar full of pictures, of names, of heirlooms, of other tokens of remembrance. And it's a way of being able to continue to practice your connections with the ancestral and beloved dead realm throughout the Samhain tide season. And you could do a concluding ceremony for honoring all of those that you've selected to work with in that year. If you're able to visit a cemetery at Samhain, either physically go there or to go there in your mind, cleansing away on a physical plane, any debris around the gravestone is a way of honoring the dead. Doing a rubbing of the stone, placing a flower or other offering at the gravesite. If you need to do this remotely because you aren't able to physically go to the cemetery, then a way that you are able to project yourself to the cemetery can be through a photograph of a gravestone or through a visualization of yourself making the journey in your mind's eye. As part of my celebrations and teachings at this Samhain tide, I'll be doing a cemetery's rituals workshop as part of the Circle Sanctuary Samhain Festival in 2020, and I am hoping to have that recorded and up at the Circle Sanctuary YouTube channel and or mine. So keep in mind that cemetery rituals can be done throughout the year, but at Samhain time, it can be a way of strengthening your work of remembrance, of healing from loss, of celebrating life and legacy. Nature walks. I think at any time of year a nature walk is a good idea, but there can be something very powerful about doing a meditative walk in a natural area. Or if walking is something you can't do a lot of due to some mobility challenges or other things, to be able to go into a natural place at Samhain time, day or night, depending on your safety considerations and the place and climate and that type of thing, and to actually just be with that natural environment, noticing the sounds, the sights, the smells, the sensations, experiencing yourself as part of that Samhain environment. Part of the reason Samhain is linked with death is in many places in the temperate zones, things are dying. The vegetation is dying back. Chances are there's been a frost, or if you're in a more moderate climate zone, at least leaves are changing colors or falling off of trees. Actually being able to experience yourself as part of the environment, having the change, going into the winter time, can be a powerful way to be in tune with nature. I also think that this time of year for those who are involved with some form of nature spirituality, be it the Wiccan path, the Druidic paths, heathen paths, other forms of paganism. Pagan imagery and folklore are interwoven in Samhain and Halloween and Days of the Dead celebrations. It's an opportunity to be able to do some education with others about the beneficent dimensions of nature spirituality. And this is also a very powerful time for working for equality, liberty, and justice for pagan people and for all. So part of what I do at Samhain time is I connect with Libertas, the goddess of freedom. Many people know her in the USA and some other parts of the world as Lady Liberty. I have invoked her as part of my Samhain magic to help me pay attention to ways that I am restricting myself. So as part of personal assessment, this goddess of freedom helps me to see what needs to be changed, transformed to allow myself to grow in good directions. And I do that as a personal work, but I also work with Libertas as part of social justice, religious freedom, and civil rights work, calling on her to guide me and to guide others in bettering public understanding of ancient ways of nature and contemporary ways, helping me and others energize ourselves to be part of bringing out and bringing about positive, helpful social change. Samhain is a time where witches and pagans get in the media in various ways. There's articles and folklore and all sorts of things that are getting circulated around. If you encounter some information that is incorrect, otherwise problematic, well, a Samhain magic piece is to give some corrective feedback to that particular media source. It might be in a comment, it might be a letter to the editor. This is also in 2020, during this pandemic time, this is a time of really taking a look at the pagan roots of democracy and the democratic process. And I think an important part of Samhain magic in 2020 in the USA is to register to vote, to learn the safest way to be able to cast your ballot, to learn about the choices of issues, referendums that are up for a vote, as well as candidates, all up the level, from local level up to the presidential level. Be aware of your values and do some research on those people running for public office. And vote your choice and to turn others, encourage them to do so as well. Well, speaking of engagement, we're at the conclusion of our hour, but I invite you to go to the Circle Sanctuary website, circlesanctuary.org, and look at Celebrating Samhain, a whole section on the web, and there is more information there. And I also invite you to tune in to our Samhain Festival to learn more about that. Perhaps you can join us. It's online. And we have a Witch Wands Full Moon Circle that has lots of witchy wand stuff in it that's up at the Circle Sanctuary YouTube channel. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. And Samhain blessings. Samhain blessings. Samhain blessings.
Sunrise, the tone.
Thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.